Out of the four Gospels, there are two that bring to our attention the birth of Jesus Christ. They are Matthew and Luke. The first and the third Gospels, respectively, as they are set out in our New Testament. And we have read today the account of the announcement of the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. And the reading of this event immediately brings to our attention the spectacle of nativity plays. Some of you here, of course, have been directly involved in organising and in presenting these nativity plays, whether at primary school or perhaps within a Sunday school context. For the rest of us, who have been to these nativity plays, and how, well, interesting and sometimes hilarious are these nativity plays. So amusing at times, and yet I'm sure not to those who have been organising and running these nativity plays. But the Gospel writer Luke's account of the visit of the shepherds is neither amusing nor is it unimportant. It is neither amusing nor is it unimportant. The announcement to the shepherds is of a divine inbreaking, of news from another realm altogether. It announces to the shepherds a divine visitant to this lost planet, Earth itself. And we read in verse 11 these words, "To you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour. And it is this announcement that we find in verse number 11 that we want to focus our attention upon for a short time today. But first of all, we need to put these verses within their context. When we come to Luke chapter 2, we come to Luke's narration of the birth of Jesus. And it runs from verse 1 through to verse number 20. Thinking of the context of Jesus' birth. The context is set for us in the very first verse of this chapter. A decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world, that is all the Roman world of course, should be registered. The Authorized Version uses the word taxed. Now, that sets the birth of Jesus within a certain historical context, a certain historical framework. It is this decree, which comes from Rome itself, that gets Joseph and Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And although there is a sense in which this decree has come down from Caesar himself, yet on a much higher level, this decree carries out and it carries forward God's plan that he, that is his son, being a descendant of David, should be born in the city of David, which is Bethlehem. It shows to us that the centre of planning is not there in Rome with Caesar. Rather, it is located somewhere else. It is located in heaven itself. Here we are given, if you like, an insight into the meaning of history. The birth of this baby is seen against the power of Rome itself and this decree from Caesar. It proclaims to us, does it not, that God is the Lord of history. That history is not ruled by fate, nor by the whim or the will of men, but rather by God himself. By God himself. And it was while they were there at Bethlehem that their firstborn child, Mary, gave birth. Not in the comfort of a 5-star hotel, not even in the comfort of the inn itself, but rather outside in a stable. And in verse 7 we read that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. We cannot measure the impact or the significance of his birth. He was born in poverty. He was born in obscurity. This baby that was born, it seems to be such an insignificant birth all those many centuries ago. But we take but one example, and only one example. How many will gather together or have already gathered together in China today to sing the praise of this baby that was born all those centuries ago in Bethlehem? That is the measure of the impact of his coming into this world. But if this birth is so important, if it is so significant for this world in which we live, surely the first person to hear about his birth would be Caesar in Rome. But no. Well, surely Herod, there in his palace, the news must have come first of all to him. Oh no. It is to shepherds that the news comes. Dean Farrar, in his book The Life of Christ, which was written way back in the year 1874, writes these words: Jesus was born amid the indifference of a world unconscious of its deliverer. And how true are these words, written way back in the 19th century. So who heard the news first? It was these shepherds. We think of the language used by the Authorized Version. And there were, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, watching over their flock by night. They were acting as true shepherds. They were guarding the flock against the attack from wolves or other wild animals, or perhaps even rustlers who might come and seek to steal away the sheep. It was night. And it would be dark. But what happened? What happened suddenly? What happened unexpectedly? It was far more illuminating than a firework display, however impressive that might be. First of all, an angel appears to them. He is called here an angel of the Lord. Their reaction, it was a natural reaction. It was the same reaction that you and I would have had to such an appearance. They were filled with fear. This was not a natural phenomenon. This cannot be explained in terms of a lightning storm. We read, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. But what does the angel say to the shepherds? Well, it is good news that the angel brings. And we find ourselves living today, do we not? Whether it is in a country where, in a world indeed, where there is very little good news. Everything seems to be news of downgrading. Very little good news abroad in the world today. But this is a different kind of good news. This is good news that comes from another realm altogether. This is good news that comes from heaven. As cold water to a thirsty soul, we read, so is good news from a far country. And that is what this is. This is good news. And it comes from a far country. It comes from heaven itself. What that should say to us today is that we do not live in an enclosed world. We do not live in an enclosed world where what we see all around us is all that there is. There is another realm. There is a spiritual realm. There is a place called heaven. And this good news comes from that realm. And it is, notice, good news of great joy. Of great joy. But what is this good news? Not only to the shepherds, but also to us. We live at a different time, in a different country, and yet this good news comes to us. And what is this good news? Well, we read about this good news in verse number 11 here. To you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this message comes not merely to the shepherds and not merely to one nation. It comes as news to everybody. We read that in verse number 10. It is, we read, this good news for all people. For all people. And that includes you today. This is good news for us also. Now we see the significance of what is being said here. And in order to understand it, we need to stand back for a second and consider this. Everything that happens in this world happens at a particular place, at a particular time. Everything that happens must be seen within this framework of place and time, of place and time. All of us were born on a particular date in a particular place. And our life here in this world is determined by place and time. Everything that happens in this world, every phenomena happens at a particular place, at a particular time. This covers our birth, it covers death. It even covers the winning of the Scottish Cup by a particular team, in a particular place, on a particular year. And for some football supporters, that may have been some many years ago. We think of rugby, we think of the Calcutta Cup, won at a particular place, on a particular date, and so on. And we have that here. The angel says, this day in the city of David. This day in the city of David. Not only time and place, but also person. The person that is born. He is Christ the Lord. First of all then, what about the time? This is not just any time. This is not just any time. It is the fullness of time. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son. Everything that went before the birth of this baby converged toward this point. Converged toward this point. The whole message of the Old Testament is a message of anticipation. Someone is coming. That is the message of the Old Testament. Someone is coming. Someone special. Not just anybody is coming, but someone special. Somebody very special is coming. It is God's Son that is coming. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. And in the unfolding plan and purpose of the God of the Bible, the world was in a sense prepared for his coming, made ready for his coming. Rome was in charge. There was peace around the Mediterranean. They had built these great roads, some of them still existing in this country, straight roads which enabled the gospel to be carried to all parts of the empire and the spread of Christianity itself. God had made everything ready. And now this day has arrived. It is one of the great days of history. Another significant day will be the day when this same baby becomes a man and lays down his life upon the cross of Calvary. Another significant day will be the day of his resurrection. And anticipating the future, another all-important day will be the day when he comes back again to this world. For us. So much for the time. What about the place? It is called in the authorized version, the city of David. It is, of course, Bethlehem. 9 kilometers south of Jerusalem. It was known as Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem, Ephratah. And King David's ancestors had lived there. And David himself had been born there. And therefore it is only right that the one who is King David's greater son should be born here at Bethlehem. This, of course, had been forecast away back in the Old Testament in the book of Micah. In chapter 5 and verse 2 it was said that out of this almost insignificant place there would come one who would be a ruler in Israel, pointing forward to the birth of this baby. And so we have these two coordinates which determine everything that happens in this world. time and place. But there is a third element here, and that is the person who was born. Here is somebody special. That goes without saying. It is an angel from heaven that announces his birth. He must have been somebody special. Now, thinking about this person who has come, this baby that was born into the world, the angel's description of this baby that was born involves three elements. First of all, the angel tells the shepherd of his function. Secondly, he tells the shepherds of his office. And thirdly, the angel tells the shepherds of his dignity. First of all, of his function, then of his office, and thirdly, of his dignity. Even here, as a baby was born, these things were said of him. First of all, his function. Why did he come? Was it necessary for him to come? He is described here by the angel as being a saviour. A saviour. Surely he would not have come if we did not need salvation. John, in his first letter, defines the mission of this baby to earth. The Father sent the Son to be the saviour of the world. And for the evangelist Luke, this whole idea of salvation is central to his writings, both in his Gospel and also in the book of the Acts. And in chapter 1 of Luke's Gospel, in verse number 69, we read, "And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." And that is why the birth of this baby is such good news to us. Not just to the shepherds, but also to us. To all people, for the simple reason that we cannot save ourselves. We need someone to come to our help, someone to rescue us, someone to save us. And that is what God has provided here in the birth of this baby. And we need to be very careful here. We need to be very careful and we need to be very sensitive. Not to become distracted. Not to become distracted with all the tinsel and the toys of Christmas time. And fail to catch the significance of the birth of this child, this baby at Bethlehem. It is to this event and to the subsequent events of his death and resurrection that we look for salvation. Here in Bethlehem, there is born a Saviour. You might ask today, surely not in the birth of this baby, in this helpless babe. But God, in the birth of this baby, now brings to pass in this world salvation for us, in such desperate need of this salvation. And to be very serious for a moment, it is our attitude toward this birth, it is our attitude toward this person, to his life, especially to his death and to his resurrection. It is this that determines our life here and our life in the future when this life is over. It is our attitude to this baby that was born that determines how we shall live and what our ultimate destiny will be. Not only his function, he is born, says the angel, to be a saviour. Secondly, his office. Notice, he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. That is what the Jews had been looking for, anticipating the coming of a deliverer. He would not fulfill their desires, of course, their longings, their expectations. They were expecting some kind of political Messiah, a ruler, someone to take charge of the nation and deliver them from the yoke and bondage of Rome itself. He turned out to be an entirely different kind of Messiah. But is this one, this baby lying there in the manger, is the promised Messiah, the Saviour, the Christ. Not only his function, he comes to be a Saviour. Not only his office, here is the Messiah, and he has come. But thirdly, his dignity. Notice here what is said. What is said of this baby lying there in the manger as they went to see him. He is Christ the Lord. He is Christ the Lord. As we have repeated again and again, this is not just anybody who has come. Not some angelic being. Not even some heavenly visitor. But God's Son who has come. And the word Lord is a word that is deployed both in the Old Testament and also in the New when it speaks of God Himself. He has come to be our Saviour. But how do we categorise Him today? How do we identify Him? What do we think about Him today? Do we see Him as God manifest in the flesh to be our Saviour? Here in this baby, we see God stooping down, bridging the gulf between Himself and us in all our need of salvation, reaching down to us in the birth of this baby to bring us salvation. Notice He does not come primarily as our example. He does not come primarily to give us good advice. Oh no. He comes to rescue us. He comes to save us. And in verse 12, the angel says, "This shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Let me ask you this question as you read these words. What is this sign that they find when they go to Bethlehem? What is this sign? It is, notice, the cry of a baby. It is the smell of the stable. It is the crunch of dry hay. That is the sign. That is the sign. That is not what we would have expected. We would have expected pomp and splendour and a halo and angels singing. But no. That is the sign. The baby lying there in the manger. But this is where the Saviour is to be found. Initially. Let us not overlook what happened that day. Let us not neglect this message that was brought to the shepherds. And then suddenly, says verse number 13, there is a show far more exceeding than anything that might be put on in a firework display here upon earth. There was, notice, with the angel, a multitude, we read, of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men with whom God is well pleased." What is the reaction of the shepherds? It is, notice, not one of reluctance, but notice, "Let us go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass." Let me ask you today in concluding, will that be your response this afternoon? Oh, not to go physically to Bethlehem, but to go to Luke's account of this wonderful story, which is a true story, of the shepherds, yes, and of the angels, yes, but especially of this baby that was born. For the news comes to you today, as it came to the shepherds those many centuries ago. To you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour that is Christ the Lord. As we draw this service to a conclusion, let us not be guilty, any of us, of looking somewhere else for a Saviour. Let us not be distracted. Let us not be found looking somewhere else for a Saviour, a Redeemer. But let us all today be looking to the birth of this child and hearing in our ears the words spoken to the shepherds so long ago. To you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord.